folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy. Thank you very much for joining us again.
This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie. And we're sitting on the floor, not to take all the mystery out of our podcast, but we're usually on the love seat. But
we're
tonight,
near it.
Yeah, we're near it. We're in its presence. And anyway, so we're very glad you're here tonight. And we're going to do a special show for you tonight. Isn't that right, Mike?
It's so special.
It is so special, just like all of our other shows.
I wasn't even paying attention to the word special that time. This time I was noticing that you said tonight a bunch of times, and now it's obvious that we're recording this at night, but they might be listening to it in the morning. We don't know.
Well, I don't know.
So many listeners, you could be listening to it.
We make
all
so
the
many
time.
Mistakes, it's just they cover each other up. So Mike, I had a message that I wanted you to pass on to Sally the Pirate for me.
Oh, I'll be sure to get it to her. What's this message?
There was a lady at the big gay dance party who thought she was pretty attractive, and she wanted to ask her out on a date.
Well, is Sally's schedule free tomorrow?
I think it is, actually.
Well, let's cover this at the end of the show.
Do we have any announcements? I don't think
nothing
so.
Nothing special going on.
Nothing special. If our website was up, we would be able to have some announcements.
We've had significant website problems and we have greatly and feed problems. So
we appreciate
if you're listening
you
to this, you've had a lot
us,
of patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks.
But hopefully, by the time you're hearing this, then it'll be fixed long ago in the past, so you won't even have to worry about it. Anyway, okay. So let's get to the question.
Show.
We've already.
What's the meat of this question?
The meat of it.
We're here with a guest today.
I like that. We do have a guest today, and our guest has a very relevant question, which he related to me before the show, and I thought it was a very important one that we all sort of deal with all the time, so everyone could kind of benefit from hearing this. Would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
Hi, everybody. My name is Jason Talley, and I'm a new resident of Grafton, like the co-host of the show here, and so, yeah. I thought I would ask a question. Can I ask it?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so I need some advice. For a while, I just haven't been interested in gossip, either gossiping or hearing other people gossip. I figure when people tell me gossip, I use that as a sign to say, oh, I can't really trust them because they're going to be telling my business to other people.
That's a good point.
But then again, Grafton is a small community of about 1,000 people, and one of the concerns about moving there was everybody's going to be all up in your business, and that's the kind of the...
small town, neighbors are nosy.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But I can see the usefulness in that, because it also tells you who you can deal with or not. So I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about, or hear what you had to say about gossip and reputations tonight.
Okay. I actually even have an anecdote related to the small town of Grafton and gossip.
Oh, interesting.
And how it's not especially effective for, you know...
Did someone start a rumor and spill the beans that you were pregnant, Mike?
Rumor?
Yeah.
You carry it well. Okay, well, I guess since I teased that so well, I'll start with my anecdote. And that is, I live off of a... Well, there's a lot of dirt roads in Grafton, but I live off of one of them, and it's about a half a mile of dirt road from the paved roads. And there's maybe three or four neighbors that live on that stretch before we get to my house. And when I drive by, I wave, and they wave back, at least some of them. The ones that don't wave, I now don't wave to and just ignore them. But one of the guys that waves and always smiles and
why
I always wave...
Why would anyone not wave back at you, Mike? I don't understand. You're so nice.
Maybe they don't like guys in dresses.
Oh, maybe. That's a possibility.
So one of the guys that always waves back, I thought was friendly because he always smiled and I always wave, et cetera, et cetera. And I just today learned that he's, like, gossiping to someone else about me, saying something to the effect of, oh, that guy always drives by so fast, it bugs me the hell out of me. So that's...
No, why didn't he just tell you that
exactly.
he thought you were driving
so
too fast?
So, on one hand, it's not really gossip, because it's kind of true, although it's subjective, I wasn't driving fast. But on the other hand, it's like...
Well, you didn't
like
think you were driving fast,
chatter between people about other people, so that's kind of gossipy. And the, I guess you could use it for creating a reputation or an opinion of someone. Like, if you didn't know me and you knew this other person, you could say, you could think, oh, well, this person I don't know, I'm being told by someone I trust that he drives fast and I must not like him. But at the same time, how does this help to solve a problem? The guy could have just said to me, please drive slower, and I would have. Meanwhile, I didn't even know there was a problem. So I can see how it helps and doesn't help.
Right, because he's smiling at you and,
yeah.
and waving at you. So the feedback that you're getting is everything's A-okay.
Exactly. So on one hand, you know, non-direct communication isn't really going to help. However, if he was much more clear and said something like to his friend, hey, you know the guy driving that car. Could you please tell him to drive slower? That's kind of a gossip or a chain of communication that will actually get a point across and establish reputation. So that might be better.
Right, and that might just be like a logistical thing. For instance, like he never sees you, and so he wouldn't be able to tell you because you're always speeding by him.
He tried to tell me, but I drove so fast he couldn't even see him.
Exactly. Yeah. But if he knows that the other, his friend knows you, then he can relate it.
Right.
But I also kind of wondered when you were telling the story, Mike, I wonder... if when this neighbor gossips about you, if the people who he's gossiping to kind of consider the source, you know,
I would hope.
And say, well, I'm going to take what this guy says with a grain of salt because he's always, you know, saying something bad about everybody. So he's probably just a crotchety old man and I shouldn't listen to him, right?
Or perhaps
or
the
maybe
reverse.
Maybe he's
always,
very well respected and maybe people trust his opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a really important part of reputation and sort of the whole question that you asked, Jason, is that when people, you know, talk about other people, whether it be in kind of a gossiping manner or just, hey, I want to let you know about this person, maybe you should watch out for them, I'm just, you know, I'm telling you because I care about you. It's, I think you always have to sort of consider the source. And
For each hierarchy of removal you have from the origin, from the source of the thing,
the more likely it is to be exaggerated.
To be wrong or missing facts or something. So
exactly.
I've experienced that, and I'm trying to train myself to not react until I know more facts, and I'm really bad at it right now. But I'm thinking, you know, if I hear, oh, Joe did this the other day, from Sam, well, it sounds bad, but I don't know. I mean, did he do it? And if he did he have a good reason that Sam didn't tell me about? So there's that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have sort of an anecdote that relates to this, too.
All right.
A while ago, there was an incident where there was a male person who is sort of an acquaintance of ours, I guess, and he allegedly committed a violent act against a female who is also an acquaintance of ours. And the only thing that I heard was from the female side, and she was saying, well, he attacked me. And, you know, I retaliated. And the guy said that he didn't remember anything of what happened.
Claiming drunkenness,
claiming
right.
intoxication,
yeah.
right, that he was too inebriated to remember what happened. And so when I heard this, I immediately, there were a bunch of people who were saying, well, you know, we heard her side of the story. Let's hear his side of the story. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions until I hear his side. But I said, I heard the story, and I said, well, I don't need to hear his side because I already have a negative opinion of her, of him, and I already have a positive opinion of her, and I trust what she says a heck of a lot more
yes.
than what he says because I've already had dealings with him. And
I was going to say, your opinions of him are based on first-hand experience, not
right.
second-hand.
I had direct dealings with him where he did things that, you know, that were rude and upset me. I mean, it wasn't enough for me to, you know, kind of like defend myself against him like she did because he didn't do anything violent to me, but I at least knew of him and didn't have a high opinion of him. So, and then, you know, this all was aired on sort of a public forum, and people said, well, you know, a lot of people don't like this guy. Why didn't people think to like post it somewhere? And I said, well, huh, that's a really good point, because I had a bad experience with this person, but it was kind of relatively minor, so I didn't really air it anywhere, but maybe I should have, because maybe, you know, all those little things adding up could kind of inform people to watch out for this potential, you know, violent person or bad person.
I see what you mean, but I don't know if I'd agree that you, for every little minor thing, you want to post it up there when it happens, because you
might
be
nitpicking. I don't know what the value of that
right.
is.
Right. On the other hand, when something major comes out or something more major, then you could add on saying, also he did this a month ago, or he also did this smaller thing, so people have a bigger picture at when it's important, maybe.
Well, that was
that
sort
might
of,
be too late.
Jason,
then.
I think that was exactly what you're saying. Like, what is the line between gossip and relevant information that could protect someone or insulate them? Right.
Right. I mean, I like the golden rule. So because I don't want people to gossip about me, I'm not. I try not to gossip about other people. However, this moving to Grafton, I have this new situation where I need to know about people. I need to know if I can trust them. And so,
and
like,
you don't necessarily know that because you're new in town, right?
Exactly, right. And so, I mean, my anecdote is that, you know, there have been people that have been staying on the property, and I had to recently ask them...
The property where you live, and you're kind of the steward of that property, right?
Yeah, yep. Like the property manager. Okay. And so I recently had to ask these people to leave, and it was a big hassle. But if I had known about their dealings with other people, then I may have been able to save myself.
Not invite them there in the first place.
Right, exactly. So, and so, so this person is somewhere else, and so I'm wondering, do I share this information, you know, with them? And so... I don't like talking behind people's backs, so I'm wondering if maybe a good solution is with you know, the new property owner or manager to sit down with him and this person and talk about these things, so the person has a chance to defend themselves.
That's really tricky, because on the one hand, because see, I totally admire what you're trying to do. Get everything out in the open, speak very clearly, give everyone the chance to defend themselves and be there. But on the other hand, you're not really responsible for other people's interactions with this person. So let's say... Let's say in this example, this person's looking for more housing, and he can't find any, so he goes to 10 other landlords. Are you going to go to every 10 landlords and follow them around and tell them the story? I mean, that's not your responsibility.
Right.
So that's tricky.
But if somebody asks you, on the other
that's,
hand, maybe
right.
you would tell them. Right.
Well, I also had another point about that, and I don't remember what it was, so I guess I'm not going to say it.
Well,
that's tough.
Well, you were wondering, Jason, if the fair thing to do would be to kind of sit down and air your grievances with these people and the landlord present, and you being the property manager. And I think that's a great idea if if your goal is to work out the problem and maybe settle up their debts or decide what they need to do to make good or pay restitution for what they damaged or whatever. But if your goal is to protect other people from having the same experience that you had, then maybe it is more appropriate to do something like tell the people that you're evicting, well, I'm not going to act as a reference for you, or I can't act as a reference for you in good conscience because of this and this and this. And unless you make restitution in this way, then I can't, you know, I can't tell any future landlords that you were in good standing with me.
But not being a good reference or not being a reference is different.
It's different than actively going around.
Right,
and
I'm not saying it's bad to actively go around. I'm just saying it seems like a lot of work because, I mean, it's like exponential. Let's say you have one other person after this guy who's on your property who you have to evict for the same reason. Suddenly you have two people maybe hopping between landlords who you have to go find all those landlords and tell them the story.
Well,
that's just a lot of work.
Mike, I actually disagree because I think the community of Grafton and of you know, liberty activists is so small, and if people are interested in the information that you have, it's going to spread like wildfire.
Well,
especially if you post it in a public
place. But that's not quite what he's saying, because if you post it on a forum, that's not really having him present to be able to defend himself. Sure, he can be on the forum, but you're not one-on-one with him. You're not one-on-one with him and the landlord. It's more public. Is that what you had in mind?
Well, but see if...
No.
I don't want to shame anybody.
Right.
But I do... I wish somebody had talked to me about a few things,
right.
And I had full information, and that's what I'm trying to provide to other people.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Before this person moved onto your property, and you wish you had had this information from, let's say, a previous landlord of this person, would you have preferred them to tell you directly, you know, I dealt with this person, and this is what I experienced, or would you have preferred them and the problem person to be in your presence?
I would probably rather have one-on-one.
Yeah, so maybe you could just...
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike.
I'll kind of branch this into two thoughts. Maybe you could just go to the future potential landlords and, without having this person there to defend themselves and say, hey, here's what I've experienced, you might want to be aware. You might also say to this person who you had to evict, say, you know, I'm going to be doing this, so please go up to them and defend yourself as well.
Right, and I think... sorry, Mike. Go finish.
I wanted to have, like, another idea I had is... And this isn't my idea, but this is a possibility, is maybe we should make a new kind of medium for people to meet at and talk about reputations. Like, if there was a website
that idea's been floated around
a
lot, for sure.
Or a website,
I think it would be
or
really
a physical, because Grafton is small, a physical bulletin board or something where people post,
Well, it's kind of like people pass bad checks and
exactly.
they post them. Yeah.
They post a picture of the bad check passer in the grocery line, so maybe we could have some medium for people to go to have information about past renters or something like that.
Yeah, Mike, I that's a really good idea. And like back to your earlier point about if Jason goes and talks to another potential future landlord of this person that was behaving inappropriately and says, hey, I just want to let you know a couple of things, you know, you may want to be aware of. I wish someone had told me this. That landlord will probably, if they're, you know, fair-minded and everything, will probably seek out the other person's side of the story, you know, like the potential tenant. They might say, hey, you know, the landlord might say, hey, you know, I've been considering renting to you, but I've heard about this and this and this, and that makes me uneasy. Can you explain this, or can you tell me your side of the story? I think I would probably do that if I were that potential future landlord, unless I already had a really bad opinion of the tenant.
Actually,
the
I wouldn't.
Or whatever.
If I didn't know this person, mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I might think something
you
like...
You just wouldn't deal with them?
Yeah, I might say,
yeah.
You know what, this
well,
is already more hassle
too.
Than I want in a client.
Sure,
so I'm
sure.
However, if I did know this person a little bit, then I might say, hey, buddy... Go ahead and defend yourself if you want.
Well, I mean, most landlords do ask for references, you know, and a reference is a powerful thing, right?
And that goes back to reputation. Yeah. I mean, if there is references for living on someone's land or whatever, and you follow up and call and ask, and somehow you can trust them, that's reputation, but that's kind of separate from gossip.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's almost like a work referral or something.
But I do like that solution as far as just giving the person that I'm talking about a heads up.
Yeah.
And giving them a chance, because then I... wouldn't feel like I am talking behind their back. I mean, even though I am, but give them a chance to to know what's going on.
Sure.
Try to be as upfront as possible.
I think if you've already aired your grievances and told the person, hey, this is why I have a problem with you, or this is why you're being evicted or whatever, and they know what's up and they haven't even tried to make good or anything like that, I think it's completely fair to talk to other people you think that they might go to try to rent from and just say, hey, this is what's going on with me. I'm just, you know, trying to save you some, wow, we have a beautiful googly peanut gallery.
Boy, you're easily distracted.
I am so easily distracted, Mike. No, but Jason, I think it's totally fair. If you've already talked to the tenant that you evicted or whatever, I think it's okay to go ahead and talk to other people about that. Whoa, this googly is going places no googly has ever gone before.
I don't know what happened on, you know, between you and this bad tenant or this tenant that you had to evict, but it's possible, it's because you sound like you communicate so well, it's possible that throughout the period of time that he was living there, you said, you know, this isn't working, this needs to change, and gave him chances or communicated problems, and it didn't happen. So it's possible that in the future, one of the things you could also be saying is, this isn't working out, and if it continues, then I'm going to have to tell future landlords about you.
Yes,
or
that's a good suggestion, Mike.
That is a good point, and with this person and others, you know, there were plenty of chances, and maybe if a future landlord has this information,
it won't put it into the lease or something.
Well,
yeah.
That's true, in lease, but won't be strung along, you know, like, and you know, there's been a long history of other people that you know, have helped people out and been burned by it, and I would like for it to stop, you know, and. I feel like I wish it didn't happen to me. Wish I had more information, and I would like to help other, you know, property managers with the same.
Sure, I don't think it's also a bad idea if you're thinking about getting into a business arrangement or a living situation or even a romantic relationship with someone. I don't think it's a bad idea.
I'd like
to
ask you on a date, but
ask around about them.
I need your last four dates' phone number so I can check up on you.
Well, no, Mike, seriously, there are people who are maybe into BDSM or
exactly.
People
there's,
who go on online dating
sexual
where they do
where,
have you know, references, people who do like casual play with multiple people or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, cuz they want to make sure they're not creepy, and I think that's totally
or dangerous.
Legitimate. Yeah. And I think it is okay if you're checking someone out, if you're going to get into a kind of a major arrangement with them, like a living situation, it is totally okay to sort of do a little background research on them. I also like the idea, like this is kind of, I guess, old-fashioned advice a little bit, but there are some people who say that it's not a good idea to be roommates with friends who you're friends with already. And
I've actually heard
become
don't go into business with friends or family.
Yes,
I disagree
I've heard
with
that
actually, but that's what I've heard.
To a certain extent, I think it can work if you can communicate with a person and stuff, but I tend to be a little wary of either living with friends or getting into business arrangement with friends, because I know there's sort of that potential to have some aspect of the arrangement like ruin the friendship.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had both. Like I did have a tenant one time, or not a tenant, a roommate, who was a friend to begin with, and then you know, we kind of remained friends. And then I've had roommates before who, like, we were friends and it kind of went bad. And I've had roommates who I didn't know, and then we became friends. And so, you know, it kind of goes either way.
It actually, if you're in a relationship...
Where I was going with that.
Well, if you're in a relationship with a friend, say a business relationship, sure, or a tenant relationship, uh-huh, and something goes wrong, it's possibly more difficult to deal with it than it would be if they were a stranger or a tenant only, right?
Yeah, I think that's true.
That doesn't really mean you shouldn't do it, but just be aware that
it
might be
something
harder
to be aware of.
If your friend, if your client, I don't know what's a good example. If you rent an apartment and your client leaves rotten fish out and stinks up the apartment regularly, it might be pretty easy for you to say, "Look, clean that up or leave." But if your friend does it, who's renting from you, it might be a lot harder to say, "You got to clean it up, or I'm going to kick you out."
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So just something to be aware of. And so, Jason, did we answer your question, or you think that did you have any more thoughts about the situation?
Yeah, this is all new for me, so I just wanted to get some different perspectives. And I like what you said, Mike, about maybe telling the person after the fact, and you know, talking to other people. But I don't want to, you know, do this in secret.
Right.
And I want to be, you know, totally transparent about it. But I think these things do need to be communication, as you guys say. Communication is key
in all relationships.
Yeah, and it's not gossip if I think it's gossip if you're telling people who don't need to know. Like, it's gossip if you go around and tell all the person's friends and anyone you meet in the store and blah blah blah, "Oh, this person screwed me over, this person was a bad tenant," or whatever. But if you tell someone who is their potential future landlord and no one else, like, well, hey, that person kind of needs to know. You're doing the landlord
yes.
a favor. It's a professional courtesy.
You can hear more
it's
of our
not
opinions
really gossip.
You can hear more of our opinions on gossip in episode 17 if you're interested.
Oh, very precise, Mike. I like that. Our peanut got...
I think we need to end the
episode.
Yes,
I think we do. There's something in the studio that's foaming soap, and our
peanut
gallery just gave birth to a googly, so...
So thank you for listening, and thanks for the question,
and
Jason.
Don't forget, if you want Sally the Pirate to make a more than bi-yearly appearance, you should email Mike at porktherapy.com and ask Mike out on a date, because when Mike goes out on a date during our Pork Therapy recording sessions, Sally is at home with nothing to do, and so she could use a night on the town.
She doesn't need it more than one night per year on the town.
She at least needs two. She appeared more than once this year already, so.
Hey, everybody,
good track record.
you can find us at porktherapy.com on the web. That's P-O-R-C.
Yes, porctherapy.com. And you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
And or you can arrange to be a peanut or a special guest if you want to.
If you have to arrange to be a peanut, you need help.
Yeah. Your shell is cracking.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419.